Good morning and welcome to our worship service today as we celebrate not only our worship of our Savior Jesus, but also the baptism of Aiden Weinberger. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you are the only true and living God. By your grace, you have called us to be your children and have invited us to come before you in worship and praise. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, so that our worship is pleasing in your sight. Let your saving grace work in our hearts and cause us to grow in our faith and love for you. We ask you, dear Lord, to strengthen us today and for the week to come, that in all things we may live as your dear children and give all glory to your name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today, and the hymns are printed in your bulletin, by the way. Our first hymn is Praise to the Lord. We'll sing the first three verses. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service as it's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved you above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Merciful God, in holy baptism, you washed away our iniquities and cleansed us from our sins. Do not cast us from your presence, but restore to us the joy of your salvation. Open our lips to declare your praise that we may sing of your righteousness for all eternity. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Our scripture readings for today are printed for you in your bulletin on page 4. We begin with a reading from Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. In these words, Paul does not use the word baptism, but he describes it and describes baptism's power for us. We read then from Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward mankind appeared, he saved us, not by righteous works that we did ourselves, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs in keeping with the hope of eternal life. Our second reading for today is from Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. In these verses, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration from God, also speaks of baptism, and he speaks about the fact that it connects us to Jesus' death and his resurrection. That is where baptism gets its power. Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Shall we keep on sinning so that grace may increase? Absolutely not. We died to sin. How can we go on living in it any longer? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by this baptism into his death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him to make our sinful body powerless so that we would not continue to serve sin." Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. This time I ask the parents and sponsors of Aiden Weinberger to come forward for his baptism. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Savior Jesus Christ commanded baptism when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." Matthew 28, verse 19. All of us are born into this world with a deep need for baptism, for we are all born into this world sinful. We inherit our sinful nature from our parents, and because of our sins, we deserve eternal death. But Jesus took away our sins by giving his life for us on the cross. At our baptism, he connects us to his death and his resurrection. He clothes us with his robe of righteousness and gives us new life. We are no longer controlled by our sinful nature, but by Jesus. We recall what baptism means for our daily lives as we hear these words regarding baptism from the Word of God. Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "Therefore we were buried with him, Jesus, through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." In obedience to the command of our Lord Jesus and trusting in his promise, Julian and Tina, you have brought Aiden here to be baptized. What you are doing is God-pleasing, for Jesus himself has told us, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." It is in baptism that God grants new life, the forgiveness of sins, joy and peace, even to little children. By the power of God's word, this gracious water of life washes away sin, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. Please bring Aiden forward for his baptism. Aiden Young Weinberger, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Aiden, the Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has forgiven you all your sins. By your baptism, you are born again and made a dear child of your Father in heaven. May God strengthen you to live in your baptismal grace all the days of your life. Peace be with you. Amen. Our Lord commands that we teach his truths to all who are baptized. Christian love, therefore, urges all of us, especially parents and godparents, to help assist in whatever manner possible so that Aiden may remain a child of God until his death. Parents, do you sincerely intend to bring up Aiden in the way of the Lord and to instruct him in the truths of God's saving word, that he may grow in faith, serve God with a Christian life, and remain in his baptismal grace until the end? If so, answer, yes, as God gives me strength.
Yes, as God gives me strength.
And sponsors or godparents, it is your privilege and responsibility to remember Aiden in your prayers, to remind him of his baptism, and as much as possible, help him be brought up in the true knowledge of his Savior Jesus according to the teachings of the Bible. If you intend gladly and willingly to carry out this responsibility, then answer, yes, as God gives me strength.
Yes, as God gives me strength.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the spiritual family into which Aiden is being baptized, has been baptized, if you are willing in Christian love to carry out your responsibility to assist in whatever manner possible so that Aiden may remain a child of God until the end, then answer by saying, yes, as God gives me strength. Yes, as God gives me strength. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Merciful Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings of baptism by which you offer and give the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Help all of us to regard our baptism as the robe of righteousness we are to wear all the days of our life. We pray that you would look with special favor on Aiden and grant him a rich measure of your Holy Spirit, that he may grow in faith and godly living. Make us willing to carry out our responsibilities to those who have been baptized, so that all of us may finally come to the blessed joys of heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Please rise. Let's all join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the name into which Aiden has just been baptized, with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Go in peace. We continue our service with our next hymn, Baptized into Your Name Most Holy. I invite you to please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, dear fellow children of God. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 22. And again, in this section of Scripture, the Apostle Peter mentions baptism. He writes, "Because Christ also suffered once for sins in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in flesh, was made alive in spirit, in which he also went and made an announcement to the spirits in prison. These spirits disobeyed long ago when God's patience was waiting in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In this ark, a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the guarantee of a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He went to heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Whenever we witness a baptism, I think it is good for us to ask the question, what just happened here? What happened here today? Was it just some church ceremony or tradition that we've developed over the years to help us feel good, make us feel satisfied or comforted about the eternal welfare of our children? Was what happened here just a sign or a symbol of God's forgiveness on our child? Or is baptism something more? Something much more than just a tradition, something more than just a symbolic act, or something that we do out of obedience to Jesus? What you witnessed here today in this baptism was actually something miraculous. And it's happened to every single one of us here today who have been baptized, whether it was when you were an infant, like Aiden, or when you were older. The Apostle Peter's words in our text for today remind us of the importance of baptism for infants and the importance of baptism for us when he writes in verse 21 very clearly, baptism now saves you. By taking a closer look at this text and some of the key passages from Scripture, we will see why Peter can say that. How is it that baptism saves? First of all, the sacrament of holy baptism is more than just a church tradition. It was actually instituted by Christ himself, and it actually commanded by Jesus in the Great Commission. We read those words at the baptismal font today from Matthew 28, when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So yes, it is in obedience to Christ that we perform baptisms. However, the saving power of baptism is not found in our act of obedience. Nothing we could do for ourselves or for each other, or for anyone for that matter, could save anyone, not us, not others. Baptism then is not a sacrifice. It's not something that we do out of obedience to God. No, instead we call it a sacrament. That word means a sacred act, something that God does for us, and something very miraculous that God does for us. Remember those words from Titus chapter 3 that we read in our first scripture reading for today. Paul, again, didn't use the word baptism there, but he describes it very clearly when he calls it a washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Listen again to what he says in Titus chapter 3. "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward mankind appeared, he saved us, not by righteous works that we did ourselves, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit." Again, that's a reference to baptism. "Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior." Let's also not be mistaken that the power of baptism is not found in the water itself either. I hate to break this to you, that is not some special water, not some magical holy water that we use. We actually got it right from the sink right before the service today. Water is simply the earthly element Christ chose to use in this sacrament of baptism. And we can kind of see why Jesus chose to use water when it comes to this special sacrament of baptism. Just think of the properties of water. what it does. Water is life-giving. It's life-sustaining. If you don't have water nearby, you don't have life. Water, of course, also is a cleansing agent. We wash things with it. We wash ourselves with it. And so those properties of water are powerful visual images and pictures of what happens in baptism. But the sacrament of baptism is more than just a powerful image, a powerful picture or symbol of Christ cleansing us from our sins. That is why this sacrament is not just water, but water used in connection with God's Word. It's this powerful, life-giving, life-sustaining Word why Peter can say in our text that baptism now saves you. Its power and its saving properties are because of what Jesus has done for us. So take a look again at the words of our text and notice just how interconnected baptism is with Christ's redemptive work. The gospel message is very clearly spelled out in these short verses I read at the beginning of our sermon for today. In fact, as we look at this text, we can see the events of Christ's work for our salvation listed almost exactly as we confess them in the Apostles' Creed. We have the very key parts of the Apostles' Creed listed here in this section of 1 Peter chapter 3. Jesus' suffering and his death are mentioned in verse 18. Peter says, "Because Christ also suffered once for sins in our place, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in flesh, but was made alive in spirit." This section of 1 Peter is a unique section in that it mentions the descent into hell. That's also confessed in the Apostles' Creed. In fact, this is one of the only verses where it's mentioned. That's verse 19. Speaking of Jesus, it says, "In which he also went and made an announcement to the spirits in prison." That's a reference to hell. What announcement did Jesus make to the spirits that were in prison in hell? Well, he went not in as part of his suffering. He went as his declaration of victory over Satan, over death, and over hell itself. He was like a conquering general, declaring that he had defeated his enemies. And finally, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is mentioned again in verse 21 in our text. And the last verse we read mentions his ascension into heaven. "He went to heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him." This section of 1 Peter chapter 3 is not the only place in the Bible where this connection between Jesus' work of redemption and baptism is made. Remember the words of our second scripture reading, words that we repeated again at the baptismal font from Romans chapter 6. "Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by this baptism into his death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection. We know that our old self was crucified with him to make our sinful body powerless, so that we would not continue to serve sin." We also read in Galatians chapter 3, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Notice that Aiden is wearing white today. Oftentimes when babies are brought forth to be baptized, they are wearing a white gown or a white robe. That is to picture the robe of righteousness that Jesus is giving them in baptism. They are covered no longer by their sins, but by Jesus. As Paul says, they are baptized into Christ, they have put on Christ. It is this connection to the Word that gives baptism its power. This connection to Jesus and his gospel that gives baptism what we call the power to be called one of God's means of grace, or the way by which God gives us his grace, his undeserved love. The Word of God, baptism, and the Lord's Supper are those means, but they have one thing that connects all three, and that is the Word, the gospel. So don't think of them as three separate parts. Think of them as three parts of one whole. To illustrate this, I often use the example or illustration of a water tower. I've used this in church services before and in classes with my students. Picture a water tower in a town or a city holding the water for that entire town or city. How does the water get from the tower to its citizens? Well, it's transmitted through a various number of pipes all the way into your kitchen and your bathroom, finally to the faucet where you can open the faucet and get water. I want you to think of the cross of Christ like that huge water tower, an enormous tank, an unlimited reserve of forgiveness that Jesus won for all at the cross. How does that life-giving forgiveness and God's grace get to us personally? How did you hear about it? Something that happened 2,000 years ago, 6,000 some miles away? Well, it had to be brought to us by some means. God brought that message to us through the Word of God, whether it was written or spoken to us, through the Word of God in baptism, as it was with Aiden this morning, and also through the Word of God in the Lord's Supper with the bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. You can think of those three means of grace as like three pipes coming out of a water tower, three methods by which God gives us His grace coming from the cross of Christ. They may be three pipes, but they are all bringing that life-saving, life-giving message, the water, of the gospel. Speaking of water, Peter, in our text, you may have noticed, uses a very unusual and unique example to illustrate the role of baptism in God's plan of salvation. Let's look at verses 20 and 21 of our text. He says, "In the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, in this ark a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the guarantee of a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Peter's referring there to the words of the great flood that destroyed the whole earth, as it's recorded for us in Genesis. At the same time, Peter makes an interesting observation. Those destructive floodwaters did, at the same time, save Noah and his family. Those waters buoyed up the ark that Noah had made. And he says, corresponding to that, these saving waters of the flood are like the saving waters of baptism, which now save you. Let's make sure that I'm not misunderstood here. The waters of the flood are what symbolize baptism. But those floodwaters actually did save Noah, in a sense. In the same way, baptism does not simply symbolize our salvation or symbolize the forgiveness we have in Christ, but it actually gives it to us by connecting us to the death and resurrection of Jesus. We're not saved apart from Jesus through baptism. We're saved through Jesus in baptism. Not the removing of dirt from our body, but by giving us a clean conscience, by removing the dirt of our sins from our souls. Again, as Peter puts it in 21, verse 21, "Baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the guarantee of a good conscience before God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Well, yes, that may all be fine and true according to the Bible, but what about infants? What about a little baby like Aiden, who is now, what, 3 months old? A little more than 3 months old? Yeah. These blessings can't possibly be given to a little baby like Aiden, can they? Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us that we are all born with a need for baptism. We're born, even at conception, with sin in our hearts, and therefore a need for forgiveness. Yes, even infants. King David himself writes in Psalm 51, "Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." Think of the fact that Jesus also gave the command to baptize to all nations. Are infants included in all nations? Yes. Young, old, middle-aged, everyone. We also think of Peter's words at Pentecost when he preached to thousands and thousands of people that day. Listen to how all-inclusive he says baptism is and the fact that it forgives us our sins in Jesus. Again, Peter is preaching to thousands of people here, and he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." Again, the gathering there that day was thousands of people. We are a gathering of, what would you say, 50 here today? 45, 50? Do we have some babies and little children in our midst? We do. We have several. Do you think there's no chance there was babies and little children in the midst of thousands of people that day when Peter says to them, the promise is for you and your children? He's also speaking of the little babies, the infants who were in that crowd that day. He tells them, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. We also have Jesus' specific and endearing invitation to babies, for them to come to him. Those treasured words from Luke chapter 18, where it says, people were bringing even their babies to Jesus so that he would touch them. When the disciples saw this, they began to rebuke them. But Jesus invited them, saying, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these, even to these little babies. And finally, one of the reasons we baptize infants is because Jesus tells us they too can believe. There's a specific passage from Matthew where Jesus is actually giving a warning, but he tells us these little ones, these babies, these infants can believe in him. He says, whoever receives one little child, and the Greek word there can mean infant or baby or little child. He says, whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me, again, the same word for little child, baby, infant, one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. That is how serious Jesus is about these little ones who believe in him. Now, does this make sense to our human reason, baptizing a baby, trusting that the Lord will bring the Holy Spirit and give forgiveness to that child? How is saving faith created in an infant that we can't ask? Aiden, do you believe in Jesus? Do you confess your faith in Christ? We can't ask him that today because he can't express that faith. It's a mystery to our minds. However, we believe it with our hearts of faith. Baptism is therefore nothing less than the miraculous working of God and his Holy Spirit. We believe it because Jesus says it is true. At the same time, we don't want to go too far either, do we? We don't want to turn baptism into some sort of magic bullet. Well, my child's been baptized, nothing to worry about now. No need to read the Bible to them. No need to share those Bible stories with them or to take them to church, tell them about Jesus, bring them to Sunday school. They're fine. Think of doing that physically with your infant. Bringing them home and saying, well, the baby's been born. New life has been created. Wonderful. I'm just going to put it on the couch and hope for the best. That baby is not physically going to live very long. The same thing is true spiritually. A baby that is spiritually reborn through baptism has had saving faith created in their heart, like Aiden has today. That faith will not last long either if it's not nourished and fed by the life-giving, life-preserving word of Jesus Christ. That is why our Savior encourages parents to bring up their children in the training and instruction of the Lord. It's also why his invitation to let the little children come to me is an ongoing invitation. It's not just limited to this day, to the day of their baptism. Baptism for an infant is the beginning of a blessed life of faith, not the end. So before today, when was the last time you thought about baptism? When was the last time you thought about your baptism? I pray that today's baptism that we witnessed and these words from God remind all of us just how important and what a blessing our baptism is. As the Apostle Peter said in our text, baptism now saves you. That was the day the Lord made you his child, sealed us with his Holy Spirit, just like he did today with Aidan. We are given the personal assurance of salvation through the water and the word. We too have been baptized into the resurrection and death of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We too have had all our sins washed away. Therefore, we can daily say with the hymn writer in the hymn that we're about to sing, God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. He, because I could not pay it, gave my full redemption price. Do I need earth's treasures many? I have one worth more than any that brought my salvation free, lasting to eternity. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue with our prayers for today, along with a prayer asking God to help us grow as his children. We also bring special prayers today for the comfort and peace of the family of Shitang Wong, who is one of our students here at our school. This past week, Shitang was taken to be with her Savior and passed away. Her family is from Malaysia, and they were visiting that country during the past week and informed us that Shitang had passed away. We pray for the comfort of the family and for all of us who are mourning her passing. We also remember with joy the fact that they came to our school just 8 months ago. And we had 8 months to be blessed by Shitang, but also 8 months to bless her with the gospel of Jesus Christ and bring her to know her Savior. So we thank the Lord for that miracle as well. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus took children in his arms and blessed them and said, "The kingdom of heaven belongs to them as well." We are so grateful for the saving love you have for children. We are grateful for the blessed life you gave to Shitang, and we are especially grateful that you gave us this time with her over the past 8 months, for the blessing she was to our school, and the blessed privilege we had to tell her about Jesus, her Savior, while she was with us during these last months of her life. The gospel message which she heard and learned in both word and song fills our hearts with a blessed hope of seeing her again in heaven on the last day. At the same time, dear Lord, our hearts are broken, and we are deeply saddened by the loss of Shitang from this life. Our hearts go out in sympathy to her parents, Niet and Mi Lin, and to her sister, Shi Xuan. In your merciful love, you gave them Shitang to love and care for in this life. In your infinite wisdom, you have called her home with you. Although we do not always understand your ways, dear Lord, Help us all to humbly follow you as you lead us through life. Help us to put our trust in your unfailing love. Comfort her parents and sister who have suffered this painful loss with your peace, the peace that only Jesus can give through the forgiveness of sins and promise of eternal life in heaven with him. Help us, O Lord, to reach out and be a help and comfort to Shiteng's family in their time of grief, that we may show and share the love of Jesus with them. In his saving name we pray. Amen. O God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for adopting us as your children, for making us your heirs of everlasting life through faith in our Savior Jesus. As your dear children, we have the privilege of bringing everything to you, our needs, our sins, knowing that you have forgiven them and paid for them by Jesus' blood. We are confident that whatever things we ask of you in Jesus' name, he will give us. And that as a kind and concerning Father, you will continue to bless us for your love's sake. We ask, therefore, that you listen to our troubles, that you bind up our many hurts. We ask you to share our burdens and cares, to keep us from straying and to help and heal us. And Father, in your mercy, dispel all of our fears, chase away our worries and doubts. You are so faithful to us. You have never betrayed our trust. Yet how often have we failed to trust you as we ought? We ask you, Lord, for your forgiveness. Teach us that when we have you as our Heavenly Father and Jesus as our Savior from sin and your Holy Spirit as the giver and keeper of our faith, we have everything and lack nothing. Through the Holy Spirit, give us a childlike faith that does not doubt or hold back, but simply trusts you for everything. As your children, may we learn to do good to everyone, especially our fellow members of the household of faith. Teach us to recognize the needs of others and to be generous in sharing our goods with them. May we pray on their behalf and be quick to offer them our help. May our lives as your spiritual children be avenues to others for the tender mercies with which you rule all this world. Finally, dear Father, send the word of Christ into all the world, converting the hearts of people everywhere, adding brothers and sisters in faith who will lift up with us the voices of prayer and praise to you, our gracious God. Bestow your many blessings on the household of faith that's gathered here today, and teach us all to thank and praise you for all your gifts and blessings. We ask these things as your dear children through your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We'll continue with our next hymn, God's Own Child, I Gladly Say It.
Thank you.
Please rise. And receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond by singing the doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. May be seated. We close our service with our final hymn, Thanks to Thee, O Christ Victorious. I invite you to stand for the last verse. Please be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome all of our guests and visitors who are with us today. We invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway. And everyone is invited after the worship service today to meet in the fellowship hall for a reception in celebration of Aiden's baptism. Following that reception today, if there is time, the Women's Auxiliary will be meeting also in the Fellowship Hall. I'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there this afternoon at 1 p.m. with Bible class following at 2. This week on Wednesday, our VBS teachers will be meeting via Zoom for a meeting at 2:30. Speaking of the Vacation Bible School, that's coming up very soon. July 24th through 28th, we still have a few spots open. If anyone knows of anyone who'd like to sign up, please grab a registration sheet in the entryway, and you can sign up at our school's website. We have 23 students, but I think that number actually has ticked up to 24, so we're looking forward to having them join us ages 4 through 13. We're looking for some volunteers to help with some snacks and lunches that week. Please sign the sheet in the entryway if you're able to do that. We also are looking for donations to help with the sightseeing and meals for our volunteers who are coming to help us teach this during that week. As normal, we do usually close that week with our church picnic after the service on Sunday, so our church picnic will be on July 30th. If you'd like to bring a dish to pass, please sign the other sheet in the entryway for the church picnic. Lots of events coming up at the end of July. Any other announcements I'm forgetting today? Next Sunday, our worship service and Bible class are at the usual time, 10 a.m. for worship and then 9 a.m. for Bible class. Any other announcements? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.